Welcome to the first of the Media Studio podcast. We pray that you will enjoy this discussion, and we hope that you will follow us on
Let us pray. Father, we just thank you that you're the only living God. Thank you that we can run to you when we don't know what to do, don't know where to go. Thank you that you're a God that we can run to. Thank you, Lord, that we can talk to you like we need to, and that we can tell you, oh God, how we really feel. And your Bible tells us that's okay, because you said in your word that you wanted us to cast our cares on you. You told us to do that because you care for us. You care for us so much that you don't want us to walk around with weight that's not our own. You don't want us to walk around with depression that's not our own, with sadness that's not our own, with grief that's not our own, with frustration that's not our own. You don't want. So, Father, we just give it to you. Take it, Lord. I don't want it, and we don't need it. What we need is more of you. Have your way. Have that own way, Lord, is what we say now. By the power of your Holy Spirit. And for this, Father, we'll be careful to give you glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord one more time. Amen. Grab your Bibles. We got some work to do. Matthew chapter 14. AV, help me out. There's like a deep hum in the monitors. It's kind of like an echoey type thing. If you can, help us out. Thank you so much for doing a fantastic job. Matthew chapter 14. Going to look at verses 22 through 33. Amen. And last week we began to study and learn something about the storm. We're going to take a look at a different storm on today, Matthew chapter 14, beginning again at verse 22. If you can help me with volume up here in the monitors and get rid of the distortion, that would be amazing. Matthew chapter 14, verse 22, this is what the Bible says. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side. Do you see it? Okay, let's start again. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. He made them go. You see that? Made them go. These brothers had a custom by this time of being rather protective of Jesus. You can remember at one point they didn't even want the kids to get access to him. Sometimes Jesus will just make you do something you don't even want to do. Make you go apologize. Make you go say I'm sorry. Make you go forgive. Make you go leave. Make you. He'll make you go. Make you go to counseling, by the way. Make you go to rehab. Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. Amen. If you cry out, he'll save you. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" What was he doubting? Was he doubting that he could walk? Was he doubting that Jesus was God? Was he doubting that Jesus would save him? Was he doubting all three? Doubt has a way of multiplying itself once you allow it to get in. My, you thought roaches were a problem. Let doubt get in. Doubt will have so many babies in your mind, you won't know what. Lord, help us. And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." I want to preach a message by the Spirit simply entitled, "It's Your Choice." You got to speak, Father. Your servants are listening. We pray that you would anoint all of our ears to hear, eyes to see, and mouths to speak for you. And we'll be careful to give you glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. I just got to say this because it just made me smile so hard. I love hearing Deaconess Ella say hallelujah. Does something to me. Speak, Father. Your servants are listening. We're ready to hear what you have to say in Jesus' name. Amen. Came by to tell you, Redeemer. Came by to tell you, people of God. Came by to tell you, man, woman, boy, girl. You got to choose. The choice is yours. With regards to how you respond to difficulty, how you respond to struggle, how you respond when bills come and there is seemingly no money to pay, how you respond. Not what happens to you. That's different. Got to preach it by the Spirit, because oftentimes you need to know things happen to you that are outside of your control. Went to men's conference some time ago, my home church, Reed Temple, with the men of the church, and brother by the name of Donnie McClurk, and you all know his music was there. Brothers, remember, he shared his testimony with us. Brothers, remember, he talked about being a child, being raped, being molested by a man. Talked about the violence done to his body. Talked about the confusion that was happening in his mind. Talking about not knowing whether or not he was supposed to be gay or be straight, because how could this happen to him? It happened to him. But then he talked about, as an adult, finding out that Jesus saves. And then what he said to all the brothers who were there, there were almost 1,000 of us, he said, "I recognize that this happened to me and I couldn't control that, but now I have a choice." And what he said, and I'm sensitive to it, that's why I'm using his words, "I have no concept of what it could be like to be molested. I have no concept of what it could be like to be raped. I have no concept of what it could be like to have somebody choose to exert force on your own body and what that could do to your heart and what you could do that to your mind." But I was listening to a survivor speak. A survivor speak. And what he said was, "I recognized that I now have a choice." He said, "I can walk around and I can be a victim to that thing, or I can choose to come out of it." And he said, "I just decided I ain't gonna walk around like that any longer. I'm not gonna deal with that anymore." He said, "I just decided I can choose to forgive." He said, "I can decide to choose to move on." He said, "I can decide to choose to be who God called me to be." He said, "I can decide to choose to let my mind be renewed." He said, "I can decide to choose to praise God anyhow." And I came by to tell somebody, I don't know what your situation is. And I don't know what your circumstance is, but I came by to tell you, you need to know you have a choice. You need to know no matter what the devil may be trying to tell you, he may be trying to tell you that you don't have any option, that you don't have a way out, that something is happening to you that's beyond your control. And I came by to differentiate at the onset and say once again, there's a difference between what happens to me and how I respond to it. You can't always choose what's going to come your way. Things come your way in this life you have no control over. And in the case of the disciples, in this case, help me in the monitors if you can, give me some volume. In the case of the disciples, in this particular passage of scripture, what's interesting about it is the Bible says that Jesus tells them, I want you to go and I want you to get into the boat. I want you to go. Now, I believe that Jesus that we serve is an all-seeing, all-knowing God who has all power in his hand. But that does not mean that there are times where he won't send you into something knowing what he's sending you over into. And I need to let you know that that's not something you can control. You can't control that. Good God Almighty, he controls the wind and he controls the waves. He controls life. He has all power in his hands. We ain't got none of that. We can't control what comes our way. But what we can choose to control is how we respond to it. And Jesus knows this. Jesus knows, Deacon Lonnie, sometimes he's going to send you some places you ain't going to want to go. You got to grow up in your spirituality. Good God Almighty. Some of us get older every year, ain't grown up yet. Throwing a doggone temper tantrum because you can't have your way and Jesus ain't doing what you want. It ain't about just you. It's a God who has all power and you got to grow up. Tell your neighbor, pastor said grow up. That's telling him that's how I say it again. I don't want you telling them you said it because they might look at you crazy. Tell them I said it. Grow up. You've got to grow up. And so Jesus, knowing that the first time around when they went into a storm, he got into the boat with them. You remember we read about that last week, didn't he? He got into the boat with them. He was sleeping in the boat with them. But there's something called growth that ought to happen in our spiritual walk. And you ought not need the same thing from a parent that you needed when you were four that you need now that you're a little bit older. Anybody growing in your walk? And before you used to need confirmation after confirmation after confirmation after confirmation. Now, baby, all you need is a word because you know God is faithful and he's going to do what he says you're going to do. As a matter of fact, now God doesn't even have to speak a word. You can just read the word and you can see the promise right there. You used to need a sermon. You used to need a sermon series. But now all you need to open up your Bible and read. He's going to supply all my needs according to, and you know everything is going to be all right because you've grown, because you're not where you used to be. And so now God can use you in ways he couldn't use you before. And now God can send you to places he couldn't send you before. And now God can do things he couldn't do before. I thank God for growth, because if it was not growth, I would remain stagnant and in the same place. And there's somebody here right now, and the fact that you can praise him is growth, because you used to come to church on Sunday morning and sit like a pup on a log, but now you recognize I'm going to bless the Lord at all times, because blessing him is not about me. He commands me to bless his name. And so when I get up in the morning, whether I feel like it or not, that's growth. Some people, Brother Nate, still operating in what I like to call conditional praise. Hallelujah. Oh, I feel like preaching anyhow. Conditional praise. That's the praise that I give God based on the external conditions. So when the conditions are favorable to me, I praise him. When I like what's happening, I praise him. When I like what's going on, I praise him. When I like what the deacon said, I'll worship. When I like what the pastor's doing, I'll shout when he preaches. Oh, but anybody know conditional praise is problematic? Because the conditions of life will change up on you in a minute. But when you got that unconditional praise, that's the praise that says, I will. Oh God, I will. I will. I'll bless the Lord. Jesus knows what he's sending you into. And he expects you to have grown to the place where you can handle it. For some of us, this is a part of the test. You're talking about you growing in God. 10 minutes ago, you was walking around talking about how holy you are, how good God is, how much he done changed you. Now what you going to do? Are you going to revert back? Because it seems as though that's what the disciples may have done. Bible says that Jesus knowingly sends them into the midst of what is a potential storm. Last time he was in the boat with them, they woke him up. He had to get busy because they acting crazy, running around in the boat. Oh, we're going to lose our mind. Oh, it's all over. Oh, we don't know what we're going to do. Oh. Yeah. We don't know. And then look at the disciples, Minister D. We learned about this at the 11:15 hour last week, but it's important for today because you're reflecting. This is the second time in the storm. The Bible says Jesus gets up. He don't say nothing to the storm initially. He starts talking to them. Woo! They concerned about the storm. He concerned about them. He's concerned about their behavior. They talking about the storm is rocking the boat. The boat is made to handle what's under it. The boat is not made to handle you running around crazy on it. That causes me to reflect on the fact, and I really ought to write this down or get this in my memory, that I'm my biggest threat. Oh, God. It's not the external conditions, it's how I'm choosing to respond. And so this time around, Bible says that Jesus wakes up back then and he speaks to the storm, peace be still. They keep on going about their day. He says, oh, you have little faith. So this time around, he's not in the boat with them. Last time, the Bible is explicit about the fact that it was a raging storm. This time, the Bible says that the wind was against them. It may not have been an all-out tornado. It may not have been an all-out hurricane. In other words, if they made it through a storm before, they ought to be able to handle just wind. Oh, God. Last time it was a sure enough storm. Can I just tell you, this ain't that. Somebody that'll set you free right there. This is not that. Do not put your previous experience on what it is right now. Because you'll mess around and throw it over. You'll mess around and throw in a towel. You'll mess around and give up. You'll mess around and quit. You'll mess around and walk away thinking that this is that. This ain't that. I came by to tell you, this ain't that. I don't know what your this is, but this is not that. This man is not him. This woman is not her. This situation is not that situation. This trial is not that trial. This pastor is not that pastor. This man is not that man. This woman is not that one. This ain't that. This deacon is not that deacon. This leader is not that leader. This is not that. That was a storm. This just a little. But they don't realize it, because one of the things that I've learned is that when it looks like it was. Now, this is the honest preaching. This is not for the super saved folk. But how many know sometimes you can have what psychologists will call a trigger? And they will say that you have to be careful when you are going through, and I've just been through a bit in terms of pastoral care, but those who have been heavily trained in this area, Sister Kim, will know that when somebody has been through trauma, You have to be careful and learn what their triggers are. Because if I've been raped, your cologne might trigger me. You ain't even thinking about what happened before. You couldn't be further from that, but it's not you, it's a trigger. So if it looks like you're going to leave me, I start to freak out. I don't know what I'm going to do. If it looks like you're going to fire me. You know what this is like for me? This is like for me when you're driving on the highway and you see flashing lights behind you. Yeah. And they ain't even coming for you, but you sweating. God, I don't know about you, but see, what you got to realize is Popo ain't even coming for you. Oh God, help me in here. But watch this, if you begin to act like you're guilty, you might attract some attention that's not even coming your way. I don't know about you, as soon as I see the lights, I look, foot come off pedal trying to find the brakes. Lord, is the insurance card in the husband? Not even real. They ain't even coming for me. This time is just wind. See, it's just wind this time. It's just wind. It's not a storm. It's just wind. It's just wind. Now understand, wind has the potential to blow you off course. Yeah, but it won't drown you. It's just wind. And so if what Jesus taught you before will work on the storm, it definitely will work on the wind. If the first time your family went through, first time your situation happened, first time your church went through, first time people went through, if first time, if you learn, if we just stick together, it will work on the storm. It'll definitely work on the wind. It'll definitely work on the wind. And so the Bible says that their wind starts blowing against them and they ain't making no progress because they're reverting back. They're choosing to do what they did instead of what Jesus taught. See, that's important because they're fishermen. They know something about rowing a boat. They know that. I've been fishing my whole life. I know how to row. Don't tell me how to row. I've been rowing. I'm a professional rower. I've been rowing longer than you've been born. I've been rowing. So they rowing, and I want to show you a detail. You'll see it. I think it's between verses 21 and 23. You'll see this. You'll see how long they've been rowing, getting nowhere. Technique perfect. Custom oar, just going nowhere fast. Because the Bible says that when Jesus sends them away, it's nighttime. When he walks out to them, it's already morning. They've been rowing all night, going nowhere, because the Bible says that they were a considerable distance from land when the wind began to buffet them, and Jesus is walking, and he catches up. All 12 of y'all been rowing all night. He goes out for a stroll and catches up. And the Bible says that when they see him, they have a choice. They have a choice. Are they going to do what Jesus told them to do, which was to speak to the storm? Or are they going to try to row their way through it? Are they going to pray their way through, or are they going to row their way through? They gonna rely on the spirit, or they gonna rely on the flesh, rely on the natural, rely on their strength, rely on their ingenuity, rely on their. They got a choice in the middle of the storm. So the Bible says that Jesus shows up, and now they really got to choose. Who is that moving in that way? We really got to choose. We got a choice. The Bible says Jesus comes out on the water, walking to them. And here's what I want to leave you with today. May not even shout. Leave you with today. Bible says, we might shout. Bible says that he's walking out to them on the water, and the Bible says that everybody else is terrified. Now, Peter gets a bad rap because he went further than everybody else. Because he gets a bad rap because when the storm starts and he is out there on water, he starts sinking. You remember? So we said, why you doubt? Jesus called you. And Jesus said, why you doubt? Yeah. We talked about that in 15. But the point is, when Jesus started walking to them, you've been in a boat all night. You've been making no progress. Jesus is strolling. And he's about to pass you by. Now you got a choice. You've been in the boat. You've been rowing. Your arms are tired. I don't know if you ever rowed before. Your arms are tired. Your arms are sure enough doggone tired. Your arms are tired. You're frustrated because by now you're blaming the other person on why you're not getting nowhere. You're probably arguing with each other by this point. Wind is against you. It ain't helping. Sails won't work. Your power can't do it. And this brother is just walking by. Now you have a choice. And Peter makes the right. Are you going to stay in the boat and just do it like everybody else? Just struggle like everybody else? Or are you going to pray? Are you going to fast? Are you going to read the word? Are you going to take God seriously? Are you going to turn your plate down? Are you going to call on the name of God? What are you going to do? You got a choice. God told me to tell you, you got a choice. Are you going to stay in the boat? And you going to stay there like everybody else? Are you going to say, you know what? I ain't never done it this way before. I don't know anything about this. But Jesus, that looks like you out there walking in the middle of a storm. If that's you, I need you to speak to me. Jesus, I need you to call me. Jesus, I need you to say your name. Jesus, I need you to help me. Do not pass me by. And so the Bible says that while they're all in the boat, they see the storm. Jesus comes walking out, and they have a choice. They have a choice now. They can keep on rowing. They can keep on rowing, or they can see him walking. And there's only one person in the boat who says, I'm not going to do it like everybody else. Can I just tell you, as I'm getting ready to take my seat, you might have to be the one. You might have to be the one. You might have to be the one. Everybody else so busy rowing. Everybody else so busy complaining. Everybody else so busy being confused. You might have to be the one. On this Sunday morning, I know it's tough. I know it's heavy. I know not everybody feels like praising, but look around on your row. You might have to be the one to jump up on your feet and say, I will bless the Lord at all times. Can I get five people to have church with me? And his praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul. My soul will make a boast in the Lord, so that the humble shall hear and be glad. And I don't know about you, neighbor, but I'm gonna give my God praise, because God's been good. Has he been good? If he's been good to you, give your neighbor a high five and say, neighbor, reach over the pump on the log and give your neighbor a high five.
too, but I'm gonna bless the Lord at all times, and his praise, and his praise shall continually shall be in my mouth and my soul in the midst of the storm. My soul is gonna make a boast, so I'll say peace, be still. I'll say joy in the middle of sadness. I'll say, won't he do it? Won't he bring you out? Won't he make a way? Won't he open doors? I dare somebody to recognize that right now, what you're really doing is the same thing Peter did. You don't realize it, but even right now, while there's a storm all around you, and you're choosing to stand up, you're walking in the middle of a storm. Even right now, while you're lifting your hands, and the winds of life are blowing, you're walking in the middle of a storm. Even right now, while you're blessing the name, and life is raging around you, you're walking in the middle of a storm. Say, I will. Say, I'll bless him. Say, yeah. Say, yeah. Any water walkers in the house? Any water walkers in the house? You know what? You can say, you know what? I can choose to sit around. I can choose to be sad. I can choose to be down. Or I can realize that this is a day that the Lord has made. So I'm going to choose to rejoice and to be glad in it. Because he didn't have to let me live. He didn't have to let me live.
You gotta choose how you respond to the storm. Come into the house of God on Sunday morning. Spiritual temperature is on cold, on freezing. What I've learned is that friction warms things up. Move around a little bit, shake around a little bit. You can't set the temperature based on what it is before people start moving. You gotta know that when people start moving, things start to heat up. And coldness starts to leave when people start moving. And so you have to choose how you're going to respond to the storm. And as we prepare to open up this morning, I think the point of emphasis for us on this morning is simply this. According to Scripture, Trustee Anna, this time is really not even a storm. Problem is, people still acting like it. This time it's just a wind. Bible doesn't even mention rain. No mention of thunder, no mention of lightning. Just wind. But if you revert back and you start to try to handle it based on the way that you would have handled. What's so funny is all they have this time is the wind, but because they're not using what Jesus taught them. Because they're not using what Jesus taught them. They survived the storm and the wind is getting ready to mess them up. Keep them from arriving at their destination. Lord, help me in here. I don't know about you, but I'm just the type of brother, I want to make it to the other side. I want to make it to the other side. Come on, would you stand to your feet all over the place on today? Tell somebody next to you, say, it's just wind, it's just wind. It's not a storm, it's just wind. God will be faithful if he kept you in the middle of the storm. And let me share this with you as we prepare to close out. Just feel this, and I got to get it out. Bible says this, watch this. Now it's challenging when you, it's challenging enough when you have to make the decision to get out of the boat.
But it's showing up challenging once you get out of the boat. And you recognize you're out there and nobody came out with you. Like, Lord, I thought we were boys. I thought we were cool. I thought we were a team. I thought we were family. And then you get out on the ocean and you look around and you, Lord, I'm out here by myself. This is where you can appreciate Peter's humanity. Because you can learn what to do and what not to do from everybody. From everybody. You can learn that when what you're doing is not working, don't revert back. Step out on faith and do what Jesus taught you to do. You learn that to him. But you can also learn that once you get out there, don't be paying attention to what's going on around you. Keep your eyes on Jesus, and he'll keep you in perfect peace, even in the middle of the storm. The doors of the church are open on today. Come on, let's open up the doors of the church. Come on, is there one on today? Some man, some woman, some boy, some girl. Are you here? Is there one on today? Some man, some woman.